This is the November 18, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of the huge stone statues on Easter Island, and the headline reads, "Finders Keepers? An explorer took a statue from this island more than 150 years ago. Some people on the island want it back." World History. Who owns history? An explorer took a statue from an island in the Pacific Ocean more than 150 years ago. Some people on the island want it back. As you read, think about what are some benefits of ancient objects being in museums. Words to know. Artifacts. Noun, plural. Objects made or used by people long ago. Remote. Adjective. Far away and hard to reach. Last year, about 6 million people visited the British Museum in London, England. One of the most popular exhibits there is a stone statue called a Moai. It is from Easter Island, or Rapa Nui. The small island in the Pacific Ocean is part of Chile, a country in South America. Easter Island is home to about 1,000 Moai. The Rapa Nui people carved them between 400 and 900 years ago. Earlier this year, the British Museum's Instagram account was flooded with comments calling for the Moai to be returned to Easter Island. Many Rapa Nui say the statue belongs there, but others say it's better off in the museum, where millions of people can see it and learn about the Rapa Nui. If you ask people here what they want, you won't get 100% agreement, Pedro Edmonds Paoa, the mayor of Rapa Nui, told The Telegraph. This situation is not unique. Museums around the globe face pressure to return artifacts to their homelands. A special statue. There are two Moai at the British Museum. One is called Moai Hava. The other is known as Hoa Hakananea. Hoa Hakananea is especially rare. It is one of only about 14 Moai made of a volcanic rock called basalt. On its back are unusual carvings of figures with human bodies and bird beaks. Experts think they represent an important part of an ancient Rapa Nui religion. In 1868, the captain of a British ship removed Hoa Hakananea's from Rapa Nui. He is said to have made a deal with a Rapa Nui chief. The captain took the statue to England and gifted it to Queen Victoria. She gave it to the British Museum. But many present-day Rapa Nui believe that the statue was stolen. To them, it is a sacred piece of the island's history. Who owns it? Museums worldwide are filled with items that were taken from distant lands by explorers. Officials from some countries say the artifacts were removed unfairly or even illegally. Many museums argue that they take care of these fragile treasures. Museum officials also point out that they make the artifacts available to experts to study. As for the Moai, the British Museum offers the only chance most people will get to see these statues up close. Few travelers can make the journey to remote Easter Island. In 2018, Rapa Nui leaders and British Museum officials began meeting to discuss the future of the Moai. Edmonds Paoa says the museum has since broken off talks. He thanks the museum for taking care of the Moai, but says there's more work to do. "We do want to reopen the conversation," Edmonds Paoa said earlier this year. Pieces of the past. Here are some other artifacts that countries want museums to return. Elgin marbles, taken from Athens, Greece. Current location, British Museum, London, England. Dispute. In 1801, a British official named Lord Elgin took dozens of marble sculptures from the Parthenon. The nearly 2,500-year-old temple is one of the world's most famous sites. Elgin said he had permission, but Greek leaders say the statues were stolen. Statue of Nefertiti, taken from Egypt. Current location, Neues Museum, Berlin, Germany. Dispute. In 1912, a German archaeologist discovered this sculpture of Queen Nefertiti, who ruled Egypt nearly 3,400 years ago. He had permission to take some items back to Germany, but for 100 years, Egyptian officials have claimed he hid this important discovery from them. Space news. Space waste. Trash isn't a problem only here on Earth. It can cause big trouble up in space, too. As you read, think about what are some ways space junk could be a threat to people. Words to know. Surveillance, noun. Close watch kept over someone or something. Maneuver, verb, to move something carefully. In March, a mysterious object ripped through the roof of a home in Naples, Florida. Luckily, no one was hurt. The object was about the size of a smartphone. It turned out to be an old piece of equipment from the International Space Station, ISS, end parens. Astronauts on the giant space laboratory had released it into space 3 years earlier. In other words, it was space junk. You can't tell by looking at the sky, but space is littered with trash. That includes non-working satellites, rocket parts, and even paint chips from old spacecraft. The chances of space waste harming us on Earth are low, but all that junk could cause serious damage up in space. Piling up. In October 1957, a country called the Soviet Union sent the first human-made satellite into space. It was called Sputnik 1. The U.S. launched its first satellite a few months later. In 1961, a Soviet spacecraft carried the first astronaut beyond Earth. Since then, hundreds more astronauts have traveled into space, and scientists have sent thousands of satellites to orbit or circle the planet. Some satellites take pictures of our solar system. Several help scientists predict the weather on Earth. Others enable us to make phone calls around the world. Satellites and other objects sent to space don't stay in use forever. Over time, most break apart and burn up in Earth's atmosphere. A few reach the surface, like the object that crashed into the Florida home. But most of what makes it through the atmosphere falls into the ocean. There's no record of anyone being hurt by space junk. Tracking trash. Here are a few of the countless objects that became space junk over the years. Oldest junk. In March 1958, the U.S. launched a satellite called Vanguard 1. More than 65 years later, it's still in space. The satellite is the oldest piece of space junk orbiting Earth. Get a grip. In June 1965, Edward H. White II became the first American astronaut to complete a spacewalk. While he was outside his spacecraft, White lost one of his gloves. It floated in space for about a month before burning up in Earth's atmosphere. Missing tools. Last November, two astronauts were making repairs outside the International Space Station. Their tool bag floated away. It was an expensive mistake. The bag and tools inside were worth about $100,000. Some waste could end up in space for centuries. NASA, the U.S. space agency, estimates that more than 100 million pieces of junk are currently orbiting our planet. Crash course. Space trash can be dangerous. It zips around Earth at more than 17,000 miles per hour. At such speeds, even a scrap of metal the size of a penny can cause major damage. It's like a really, really fast car that can bump into anything, says NASA's Charity Whedon. You can't control it. Space junk is a threat to the thousands of working satellites circling the planet. It's also a danger for the astronauts living on the ISS. Earlier this year, an old satellite nearly broke into more than 100 pieces. 9 astronauts had to take shelter. As more satellites are launched, the chances of collisions increase. Cleaning up space. NASA and other agencies are working to tackle the problem. They use surveillance systems to track trash. That allows them to react when debris poses a threat. For instance, about once a year, astronauts have to maneuver the ISS to dodge trash. Also, some companies are looking for ways to get rid of space junk. A company called Astroscale is working on a giant robotic arm. It would pull trash towards Earth's atmosphere, where it would burn up. Whedon says future space missions could be at risk if we don't act now. It's really important that we get a handle on the amount of space junk up there, she says. If not, it's going to affect our ability to explore. Join the parade. On November 28, more than 3.5 million people are expected to line the streets of New York City. High above them, huge SpongeBob SquarePants and Spider-Man balloons will float by. It's time for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The Macy's department store held its first parade in 1924. The goal was to boost holiday sales. The parade has been held every year since, except 1942, 1943 and 1944 when it was canceled due to World War II. The parade looked different 100 years ago. Back then, it featured live animals from a local zoo. In 1927, Felix the Cat, a cartoon character at the time, became the first balloon to fly in the parade. Each year, new balloons are added while others are retired. This year, more than a dozen character balloons will soar above the 2.5-mile parade route. Executive producer Will Koss oversees the creation, planning, and design of the parade. He's proud to be part of history. I remember watching the parade with my family as a child, Koss says. It's amazing to know that we have continued this beloved tradition for families across America. By the numbers, about 50 million people are expected to watch the parade on TV and online. A Snoopy balloon has flown in more than 40 parades, the most of any character. Each giant balloon is guided by 80 to 100 handlers. The parade features about a dozen marching bands and about 25 floats. Debate it. Should everyone get a trophy? Your basketball team spent weeks preparing for the tournament. All your hard work paid off when your team finished the season in first place. But at the awards ceremony, everyone in the league got a trophy, even the team that didn't win a single game. Some people say it's not fair for everyone who participates in a sport or an activity to get a trophy. They argue that awards should be handed out to only those who rise above the rest. Gina Pantuosco is a youth soccer coach in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. She thinks participation trophies prevent kids from learning an important life lesson. Losing isn't the end of the world, Pantuosco says, but others say participation trophies reward teamwork, sportsmanship, and trying hard. And they say building those skills is more important than becoming a superstar. Many coaches also point out that getting a trophy can help motivate kids and keep them interested in an activity. Here's what two of our readers think. Yazini Martin from California. She says, yes, everyone should get a trophy. Otherwise, some kids might get discouraged and give up on their sport or activity. Just because you don't come in first place doesn't mean you're bad at something. Getting an award can boost kids' confidence. It may inspire them to keep practicing and try even harder next time. Besides, winning isn't everything. Kids should get rewards because they tried their best. That should count for something, too. Luca Sweeney from Washington says no. Kids should get awards only when they're deserved. If everyone were to get a trophy, the kids who actually earned one wouldn't feel as special. Kids who come in first place deserve to feel a sense of pride and accomplishment. And if you're just handed a trophy, you might not push yourself to work harder in the future. Plus, handing out trophies to everyone doesn't prepare kids for the future. Adults don't get medals simply for showing up for work. On the last page of this issue, there's an infographic about Thanksgiving food. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the November 18, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for Grade 4. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.